Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn This System option of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin at the beginning of the fifth perek, perek Yotze Doifen, at the top of Daf Mem Omer Aleph. The Mishnah, Yotze Doifen, Ein Yoshvin Olov Yemei Tuma V'Yemei Tara, a woman who delivers a child through a cesarean birth. There is no observance of the Yemei Tuma, the Tuma days and the Tara days that ordinarily follow a normal birth. V'ein chayovin olav korban, and the woman will not bring the standard sacrifice that is brought by women who give birth through a normal method. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hare Ze Kiyalud. Rabbi Shimon views the Yotzi Dofen, the cesarean delivery, as a regular birth. Kol Hanoshim Metamois Bevesachitzon. This is a general statement regarding the Nida situation, the menstrual cycle of a woman. At what point does the woman become Tameah? At the point that the blood enters the Beis Hachitzon. It's a situation where the blood has not actually left her body completely, but it's contained within the body walls at the point of exit. In other words, very close to the exit point of the woman's body, the blood has accumulated. She is at that point Tameah. Shenemar dam ye zovo bivisora. The pasuk says that the blood is flowing within her. So as Rashi calls this, when the blood gets to the Beis Hachitzon, afagam dehemidu kosli rachmo, even though the walls of her womb have held it in. The Mishnah continues, aval hazov ubal keri. These are two other forms of tuma, the male discharges that could render him unfit or unclean, ritually impure, the Zav and the Balkeri. Balkeri is a semen release. Einon mitamen ad sheteitzeb tumos lachutz. The men do not experience tuma until the fluid actually leaves their body. If a man was eating truma and he felt that he was about to have a release of semen, that's expressed by the expression "izdazu evarav." His body has literally shaken up. Rashi says "nekar shichvas zera migufo," that the shechvas zera, the semen, is about to leave his body. So, and he's in the middle of eating truma, and it would be a sin for him to eat truma while in a state of tuma. So the Mishnah says, "Oichez ba'amo ubolea es ha-truma." He shall hold his male organ and swallow the truma. And after that, if what has to come out comes out, because it's already been ne'ekar migufo. Umetamen bekolshehu afilu ke'en acharlo ubepochos mikain. The quantity of these substances that create tuma is a kolshu, meaning it's a very small amount, even less than a mustard seed in size. Before we learn the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under our Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Yotze Doifen, the cesarean birth, Rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon, Eino Nechshav Leida, it's not considered a birth, and Reb Shimon holds Velad Ma'alyo, it's a full-fledged birth. The Gemara itself will feature with our markings a double underline highlighting the expression Mai Ta'amayhu, where the Gemara will be looking for the reasons behind the Shitas HaRabbanan, and later the Mai Ta'amei will be referring to the reason for Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So we now turn to the Gemara. Amar Rav Moni Bar Patish, Mai Tamayu Rabbanan. What is the reason for Shitas Rabbanan that say that a cesarean birth is not considered a birth? And we already saw in the Mishnah that point has relevance with regard to the Yemei Tumah V'Tahara of the woman and the Chiyuv Korban. So what is their basis? Omar Kro, Isha Ki Sazria V'Yoldo Zohar. That is the Pasuk. And from this Pasuk, they darshan Ad Shetele B'Mokom Shihi Mazras, until the birth issues forth from the canal in which she experiences her seed, which is, for our purposes, Mokom Shemazras is the regular canal, the regular channel, to the exclusion of the cesarean birth. Rabbi Shimon, what's his response when, after all, Rabbi Shimon considers a C-section delivery, a cesarean birth, a full-fledged birth? So he says, Hahi, that Pasuk is Dafilu lo yolda la'en ke'en shizria imo tameo leida. Zria is a, we'll say, a fluid type discharge. So the Pasuk is saying that even if the woman gives birth to nothing more than a discharge of slime, in other words, something that was once a child but it dissolved, that will still create tumas leida. V'Rebbe Shimon Maitame, what's the basis for Rebbe Shimon for assigning a high level to the C-section? Omar Ish Lokish, Omar Kro, Teleid. The Pasuk uses the word Teleid, V'im Nekevo Teleid, the Pasuk says, when it could have simply said V'im Nekevo without the word Teleid in it. So that Teleid word is extra, and it's L'Rabo Yisyotzidof, and to include a birth of that nature, a C-section birth, as being considered a full-fledged birth. V'rabbonon, the Rabbonon's response, Hai miboyole l'rabbis tumtum v'androgynous. Rabbonon don't view the C-section birth as a full-fledged birth. They do, however, say that a child whose gender is unclear, tumtum, where the organs of gender are covered up, an androgynous, sometimes known as the androgynous, a dual organ, a dual gender organ person, they too will generate the tumas leida. Their birth, the tumtum androgynous birth, will be considered a regular birth. The Salkadaita Chamina, without the scriptural reference, without the Pasuk, I would have thought, Zohar Nekevo Ksiv, the words Zohar and Nekevo, male, female, appear in the Pasuk, which would have led me to think Zohar Vadai Nekevo Vadoyis, only that which is a certain male or a certain female, Velo Tumtum Androgynous, to the exclusion of these unclear type gender children, Komash Malon, hence you have the word Teleid, to be marbe, the unclear type child, as being a birth for l'chol domer, for all matters. Rabbi Shimon, well, what about Rabbi Shimon's response to that? Where does he know the tumtum androgynous birth? Nafkale midetoni bar livoi. He learns it from a Tanaic teaching of bar livoi. Detoni bar livoi. Bar livoi taught the following source. Leven. That's a word from the Pasuk, and we learn from this, Leven mikomokom, any kind of ben, whether it's clear or unclear. Labas mikomokom, a daughter, any kind of daughter, once again, whether it's clear or unclear. Verabonan, what do they use this teaching for? Hai miboyale l'chayev al kol ben uben l'chayev al kol bas ubas. They need it to teach me that for every birth there is the necessity of bringing a separate korban. In other words, we mentioned before that a woman, when she gives birth, she brings a sacrifice upon the birth. The teaching here is saying that if a woman, let us say, did not bring a sacrifice immediately after she gave birth, but waited till she had another child and another child, a number of children, and then decided to bring a sacrifice. So this pasuk, this drasha, is telling us that for each child, a separate sacrifice will be needed, and one sacrifice cannot cover the the multiple births. If we look at the Rashi on this, L'chayev al kol ben uben, shim tov lo li'achar yud dalid l'nikeva, if a woman entered the mikveh after 14 days of tumah, after following a female birth, v'shimsha, and she then had intimacy, v'nisabra, and became pregnant, v'yolda l'achar shmoinim, then had a child, which in effect, in this case, if it's after 80 days, it would be a miscarriage, but she had this birth after 80 days, mevia shnei korbonos. The second birth is considered a separate entity once it goes beyond the 80-day birth period from the first child. So we continue now in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, nafgalei. Rabbi Shimon learns this idea of a separate korban for each birth. And when we say birth, as we just saw in the Rashi, it doesn't necessarily mean a living child, but it's nevertheless considered a birth. He learns this point, midetoni, Tano Kamed Rav Sheshes. He learns this idea of separate korbanos from the source that the Tana taught in the presence of Rav Sheshes, which reads as follows. Zois Teras Hayoledes. That is the Pasuk that's quoted, and we have this Tanaic source that elaborates. You'll notice that it lasts a number of lines. All of the section that you see appearing in a frame is our Tanaic source. So the Pasuk, having said, Zois Teras Hayoledes, Melamed Shemeviya Korban Echod Al Vlodos Harbe. This Pasuk conveys the idea that she would bring one Korban for multiple births. Yochol Tovi Al Leida V'Al Ziva. Before we go on, we should notice, though, that we have a brackets over here, and this section we would advise skipping initially before upon our first read through, because the that which appears in the bracketed section is a version or a girsa version that requires some correction. So after we read the phrase, the Korban Echod al Vlodos Harbe, we skip the bracketed section. Yochol Tovi al Leido Shilifnei Melois Val Leido Shilachar Melois Keachas. Let's say that instead of speaking about a standard twin birth or triplet birth, which would be Vlodos Harbe with one Korban, what about a case like this where she gives birth and then there's a second birth after the Melos, which means after the 80 days of Yemei Leida since a female birth? Would she bring one Korban for a Leida that's Lifnei Melos, which means before the completion of the 80 days, V'al Leida Shalacha Melos Ke'achas, and one the same Korban to cover that as well? So Talmud Lomar Zois. So the word Zois is a limitation expression, meaning no, that each birth requires its own korban, which is what we were bringing this source in to teach in the first place. Let's go over now the source with the skipped section. After the source taught us that Zois Teras Hayoledes implies that one korban covers multiple births, the source asks, Yochol Tovi, we're reading within the bracketed section, Yochol Tovi al Leida v'al Zivo Kachas, would a woman bring one korban to cover a birth and a Zivo experience? Zivo is a woman that had three consecutive days of blood sighting during her Yemei Zivo, following which she needs to bring a sacrifice. Let us say we have a woman that gave birth and also experienced 3 days of Zava. Would she bring one sacrifice for both? So to this suggestion, the Gemara responds and says, Elo Yoledes de Ochlo Dam Violedes de Ochlo Chelev Bechad Korban Taski La. A woman that, let us say, that gave birth. So she needs to bring a sacrifice for having given birth. And in addition to that, she also ate some blood. She ate some chelev. These are forbidden substances that carry with them a kores penalty if done knowingly. So if she did them inadvertently, would she bring along with her, would she bring one korban to cover her birth and her sin of eating chelev or dam? Would that tizkila, would that be sufficient? Obviously, no. They're two separate realms. They're different offenses, and therefore each offense generates a separate korban. Likewise, if the woman was a yoledes and she was also a zova, they are two separate realms. There isn't any hava amina, there isn't any basis for thinking that one sacrifice would cover both. Ella, if you want to raise some type of hava amina, some type of suggestion that will be that will need a pasuk to reject, the following would be a suggestion. Should a woman be able to bring one sacrifice to cover a birth or a second birth together with a first birth, where the second birth takes place after the malois, after the 80-day tuma period? Talmud loimar zois. The pasuk comes to tell me zos, meaning a separate korban for each birth, a birth that's before the a birth that's contained within the 80-day tuma tara period of a female birth. Any births or miscarriages within the first 80 days are covered by one sacrifice. However, if there is a subsequent birth after the 80-day period, that will not be covered by that first sacrifice. And that's learned from Zois. V'Rabbanan. Now, at this point, we have the Rabbanan needing to respond to Rabbi Shimon's teaching, because the Rabbanan had their own pasuk of Levenu Levas for the idea of separate sacrifices. And now we're introduced to the word Zois. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan afagav dechsiv Zois, even though you've got the word Zois for this idea of separate sacrifices for each birth, it's truth leben olabas. I need that limud as well that we had seen earlier. Sakadai techamina, hani mili, betray iburi. If I would have had just one source for this teaching, I would have thought that the idea of a separate korban for a separate birth is as a result of two separate pregnancies, two separate conceptions and pregnancies. So in such a case, we say it's two separate conceptions with the two separate pregnancies that took place over a course of time. So a separate korban is needed for each child. Avol b'chad ibura, but one conception with two separate births, the second one taking place after the malos of the first one. And you'll ask, is there such a possibility of a single conception, a single pregnancy with two children being born, the second one born considerably after the first one? So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a story like that. Kagon Yehuda v'Chizkiya b'nei Rabbi Chiya. The sons of Rabbi Chiya, Yehuda and Chizkiya, one child was born at the beginning of the seventh month of his mother's pregnancy, and the second child, the twin, was born at the end of the ninth month of that same pregnancy. So you have almost 3 months between the two births. Beginning of seventh till end of ninth is almost 3 months. So that the second birth is after the malois of the first birth. It's more than 80 days later than the first birth. There is therefore a need for a second sacrifice. But I would have thought, Amar b'chad korban sagilo, I would have thought that since it's one pregnancy, so one sacrifice will be sufficient. Komash malon, hence I need the second source that teaches this concept of individual korbanas to cover that case as well, that case as well will need two separate sacrifices. At this point, we start a new sukya that lasts till Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. You'll notice we have a nosei, a topic heading, that reads the nosei, and in parentheses an indication that this goes till Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. Moide Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who previously had viewed the cesarean birth as a full-fledged birth, will concede b'kodshim in the realm of sacrifices the eino nechsha vlad. It's not considered a vlad, it's not considered a pregnancy or a birth to be acceptable as a sacrifice. In other words, an animal delivered through a C-section, such an animal cannot be brought as a korban. So the Gemara reads, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're noting Rabbi Yochanan's name with a firebox, which is one of the rarely used markings, but it indicates a shita or an idea that will preoccupy us for a long time. So, daf-wise, this shita, this point of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Shimon concedes by Koshim, that it's Yotze Daf, it's not a Vlad, will keep us occupied in the Gemara till daf mem aleph. So, that having been said, you understand now why we have the firebox marking. Moide Rabbi Shimon, the Koshim she'eno kadosh, that in the realm of Koshim, that it will not absorb sanctity, that is a C-section birth, won't absorb sanctity if one attempts to impose upon it something called Kedushas Aguf. It won't become sanctified, but rather it will have a value sanctity that would mean that one would have to redeem it and use the money for purchasing alternative sacrifices. My time, why does Rabbi Shimon concede in the realm of Kutchim that Yotze Doifin is not considered a Vlad? Gomar Leido Leido Mi Bechor. There's a word comparison using the word Leido from the topic of firstborn. What is a firstborn? Well, a firstborn man, a firstborn animal, have a certain level of sanctity to them. In the case of animals that are firstborn male animals, they are to be brought as they're given to a Kohen and brought as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. In the topic, in the realm of Bechor, there the Pasuk says explicitly, Peter Rechem, something that was delivered through the normal birth canal. Peter Rechem is a reference to a birth canal delivery, to the exclusion of a C-section. So in the realm of a Bechor, is very clear that a Yotze Doifin C-section is not acceptable. It doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. So Rabbi Shimon says that in the realm of Kochim, there is a Gezera Shava, comparing other sacrifices to the Bechor. Ma Hosam, just like there by the Bechor, Peter Rechem. It has to be through the regular, a delivery through a regular birth canal fashion. Afkan, that's by other Kochim, Peter Rechem. It has to be through the birth canal. The Gemara asks, "V'ligmar leido leido me odom." Why not learn a word comparison between kochim and man, human birth, where Rabbi Shimon says, in the realm of human birth, a C-section results in the standard laws of birth, tuma v'tara, and she brings a korban, that it is considered a leido. Ma hosam yitzidoifen, just like there in the case of Odom, it's a regular birth. Af kan by kochim yitzidoifen should be considered a regular birth. So at this point we have the realm of kochim, and we want to know: do we compare it to Bechor, or do we compare it to Odom? That's the unknown. The result being that if you compare it to Bechor, so kochim won't be sanctified, a Yotze Dofen, and if you compare it to Adam, it would be sanctified. The Gemara answers, Mistabra mi Bechor havelei lemelaf. It's more most likely that you would learn Kachim from Bechor, Shekein imo yime imo, because in both cases the word imo appears, so that you have a common factor, an additional common factor, namely the word imo, strengthening the link between Kachim and Bechor. Adarabba, the Gemara asks, to the contrary, may Adam have a leila melaf? It would be more appropriate to learn from Adam, shekein poshut mi poshut. Poshut is an expression meaning to something other than a firstborn. Just like in the realm of Kutch, just in the case of Adam, when we speak about a birth, we're referring to all births, regardless of it being a Bechor. So too, in the realm of Kutchim, we're speaking about animals that are not Bechor. So that you would have that element of comparison. The Poshut comparison. Ela mi Bechor have le lemelaf. So the Gemara goes on with another attempt, that it's most likely that we should compare Kochim to Bechor, Shekain. And now there's a list of words. They're numbered, listed off with numbers 1 through 5. Each word is a code for a point of comparison, a point of similarity between the two realms. So what does this list of similarities include? So, shekain, aim. we saw before the word emo appears in both. Behemas kochim, they're both realms of animals and their respective sanctity, as opposed to a person. Pigul, no sarvatome, three more points that they could have in common. Pigul being a situation where an animal or a sacrifice is slaughtered with the intent to eat it or process it at the wrong time or place. Nosar is the idea of korban meat that's left over beyond its acceptable time. And tomei, both realms, bechor and kochim, have relevance to the realm of tuma, where they could not be eaten, let's say, in a state of tuma. So you have 5 points of similarity that exist between bechor and kochim, hence that would be the most likely comparison. Adaraba, to the contrary, me odom havilei lemelaf, there should have been a kochim odom comparison, shikain, and here's another list of points in which they have similarity, and that includes poshut, as we mentioned before, and zohar. In both cases, the issue of male, of being a male, is an irrelevancy. By Odom, we were talking about a C-section delivery of Odom, and by Kochim, we're talking about animals other than specifically male animals. Kodosh, in both cases, so they are not automatically sanctified, as opposed to a Bechor, which is born sanctified. Bimatona, the realm of Odom and the realm of Kochim are not Kohen gifts, as opposed to a Bechor, which is a Kohen gift. So you have 4 points of similarity between Odom and Kochim. The Gemara says, even so, Hanoch Nefishon, the points of overlap or of commonality between Bechor and Kochim are greater in number. Nefishon is greater in number, where you have 5 points of comparison as opposed to Odom with Kochim, only 4. As a result of that, the Limud from Bechor would be stronger, through which we exclude the Yoitzei Doifen. Omar Rav Chiya Brei D'Rav Huna Mishmei D'Rava. Rav Chiya tells us, in the name of Rava, Tanya de Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan, there is a Tanaic source that will back up, or that will strengthen or assist Rabbi Yochanan in his claim. Namely, that Rabbi Shimon's Moide B'Kotshim, with regard to Yoitzei Doifen, that it's not considered a birth. It's not considered something that's a birth with regard to becoming sanctified as a sacrifice. Now here we have a structural phenomenon that's kind of rare, but we're going to start a Tanaic source that lasts all of, it continues through all of Omid Beis and concludes on the third line from the top of Mem Aleph Omid Aleph. So, bearing that in mind, and marking-wise, we're trying to illustrate a frame that continues all the way till Mem Aleph Amet Aleph. So, once again, we're bringing a Tanaic source to support the point that Reb Shimon, in the realm of Kochim, in the realm of sanctifying animals for sacrificial purposes, a Yoitzei Doifen is not considered a regular animal, and hence it won't be sanctified as a sacrifice. The source begins, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zois Torah Olam. We should point out that as we learn the source, we will be most interested for this sugya in Shitas Rabbi Shimon and what he has to say with regard to Yoitzei Doifen. We will attempt to highlight that with dashed underlining on Omid Beis, where we feature Rabbi Shimon's name with a dashed underline, and the second line from the bottom, a reference to Yoitzei Doifen as well, dashed underline. So we now again start from the beginning. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zois Teras Ha'oila, Hi Ha'oila. This is a quote from the Pasuk. Hare Elu Gimel Mi'utim. In this Pasuk, there are 3 expressions that show a form of limitation. And what do we limit or eliminate? Prat Le Nishchato Balayla, V'Nishbach Domo, V'Shiyotze Domo Chutz L'Kloyim. If a sacrifice were slaughtered at night, or its blood were not sprinkled but rather spilled to the ground, and a case of Yotze Domo Chutz L'Kloyim, or the blood that was going to be used for the sprinkling on the altar left the Kloyim, left the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and now you have an Ola korban, the meat of that animal, which generally speaking is to be brought to the top of the Mizbeach. But in these three cases, Shim also tereid, if it's brought to the top of the Mizbeach, because of these psulim, because of these problems, these mistakes, these deficiencies, the sacrifice that was brought up to the Mizbeach must be taken down. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Oila. He quotes the word Ola from the Pasuk, Einli Ela Oila Kshera. From this I learn that you only bring an Ola that's kosher to the top of the Mizbeach and burn it. Minayin LeRabos, from where do I know, to include the following. And you see we have a little Aleph. This is a very long list that begins here and goes down a number of lines, a number of different sacrificial related points that there are problems with the sacrifice, but even so, if the Kohen brought the animal meat, the oil meat, to the top of the Mizbeach, it shall remain there. In other words, there are problems here, but b'dieved, we can overlook them if the animal is actually brought to the top of the Mizbeach. So from where do I know to include Shenishchata b'layla? Notice here he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Something, an animal slaughtered at night, that's a sacrifice, an Ola sacrifice slaughtered at night, v'shenishbach doma, or its blood spilled out and was never sprinkled on the Mizbeach, v'shiyotza doma chutz l'kloyim, or its blood left the Azara before it was sprinkled. Those 3 points, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And now the list continues. V'halon, this is blood that was left over beyond its time, beyond, was left over till after Shkia and was not sprinkled. V'hayotze, or the blood, or the animal, the meat, left the Azara. Besar Ola is not to leave the Azara, but it did. It left the temple courtyard. V'hatome, or it became ritually impure. V'hanoso, or animal meat that was left over beyond its zman, and they tried to offer it on the Mizbeach. V'shenishchat chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mkomo, or it was slaughtered with a pigal intention, with an intention of having it processed at the wrong time or place. V'shekiblu psulim, or people that were puzzled, like a balmum, a blemished kohen, did the kabbalah sadam, did the receipt of the blood. V'zorku es doman, or a kohen that was puzzled, did the zrika sadam. V'hanitnin l'malo shenosnan l'mato, v'hanitnin l'mato shenosnan l'malo. This is a reference to different kinds of korbanos have different locations on the Mizbeach that the blood is to be applied. Some are applied lamalo, above the midpoint, and some are applied below the midpoint. And if you switched them around, we just referred to that situation. Vanitin b'chutz shenoslim b'fnim, or sacrifices whose blood application should be b'chutz. B'chutz in this case means in the Azorah, as opposed to blood applications that are done in the Heichal. So those kind of sacrifices that you, instead of doing it in Azara, you did it b'fnim, in the Heichal. V'shanitin b'fnim shenosa b'chutz, or sacrifices whose blood application is to be done in the Heichal, and you did not do it, rather you did them in the Azara. V'pesach v'chatas sheshochtun shelo lishmon. These two kinds of sacrifices, a Pesach or a Chatas, which were done with lack of specific intention, that were shelo lishmon. They weren't done, they weren't processed, they weren't, their blood was not sprinkled, let us say, for the Pesach intention or for the Chatas intention. Minayin, from where do I know that all of these examples, if they are brought up to the Mizbeach, that they would not have to be brought down, but they could be continued, they could be thrown into the fire at the top, even though all of these problems exist. Talmud Lomar Zois Torah Sa'ola, that is the Pasuk, Riba Torah Achas L'chol Ha'olin. The Torah includes one rule for all those that are brought up. She'im Olu Lo Yerdu. If they are brought up, they shall remain there. It doesn't mean that you should bring them up, but if it was brought up to the top of the Mizbeach, leave it there and put it in the fire. Yachol Shani Marbe, would I include even the following? Another list, but this list contains examples of problematic korbanos that if they are brought up, they are not to remain there, but rather to be brought down. So the Braisa is asking, should I include Eshoroveh Vanirba animals that were used in bestiality, an animal set aside as a sacrifice that was something that was dedicated as a sacrifice to an idol, or an animal that was worshipped, an animal that was used as payment for a harlot, for her services, an animal that was exchanged for a dog, an animal that is a mixed breed, the hatrefa, or an animal with a type of organ or limb deficiency of a certain sort, without getting into details. The yotze doifen, and here is the main reason we're bringing this entire source, just for this expression. What about an animal that is a cesarean birth, and it was brought as a sacrifice? Would it stay up on the mizbeach if it were brought there? Talmud lomar zois. You have this limitation expression. And from this we learn that this list, beginning with the bays that we have that was encircled, this list is a list of things that if they're brought on to the Mizbeach, they are to be brought down. And that is a result of the Zos limitation expression. Uma rois l'rabos es elu, hosi es elu. What is it that you saw to include the Aleph list and exclude the bays list? We continue at the top of Mem Aleph Omer Aleph. After you see the pasuk including and excluding, we say, I will include the Aleph list. Psulim b'kodesh means the psul that they have developed after they were brought to the Azora. So if you look over the list, in list Aleph, all of the examples, there are problems that were not present in the animal prior to its being brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's considered a lower level problem. It's only a late developed problem. However, I will exclude the list that we entitled Beis, where those are psulim, where even before they were brought to the Beis HaMikdash, there was already a problem. Included in the list, and we have to emphasize once again, is a cesarean birth. Namely, even before you sanctified it, it was already a problem. And who taught all of this? This is under Rabbi Shimon's name. So we see, like Rabbi Yochanan, back on Gaf Mem, Omid, Aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shimon is moed in the realm of Kutchim, that a Yotze Doifen is not considered acceptable, it's not considered a birth, an acceptable birth, to allow it to be brought as a sacrifice. Here, the Gemara now reviews that point. Kotoni mias Yotze Doifen, delo. It mentions in this source that a Yotze Doifen is not acceptable. My love, Yotze Doifen de Kutchim. Are we not talking about the Yotze Doifen, a cesarean birth of general sacrifices, of a general nature? We're at this point employing a triangle with alternating positions to help us keep track of the give and take nature of this section of Gemara. You will notice our note in the outside margin, the Mivneh note, which reads, with the triangle pointing up, Siwa lahodom Rabbi Yochanan, a support for that which Rabbi Yochanan said, La'el mem, out mem, I want Aleph, Shemoide Rabbi Shimon b'kotshim, Shetzidofen posel, Rabbi Shimon will concede that in the realm of Kotshim, the Yotzidofen is unacceptable. When you see the triangle flipping over, it's basically the Gemara saying no support. So it's as we said, we're going to try to keep track of the thought process here of the Gemara in this give-and-take fashion. So at this point, the triangle appears on the fourth line from the top, pointing up, my lav, Yotze Dofen, the Kutchim. Is it not so that the source which declares the Yotze Dofen as being Pusel is the realm of Kutchim? No. Omar Rav Huna, notice the triangle flips over. Omar Rav Huna, Breda Rav Nosen, lo. Yotze Dofen de Bechor. We're talking about an animal whose first birth is a male animal delivered in a C-section fashion. The Gemara asks, well, I don't need the word Zos for that which was featured in the source. Bechor mi peter rechem nafko. That's learned from peter rechem and not from Zos. Therefore, Zos is still available to teach what Rabbi Yochanan said. And that's why you notice at the beginning of the line we have the triangle facing up, which was to support Rabbi Yochanan. Now you'll notice the triangle flips over. Elamai de Kachim. Are you going to tell me that the source is dealing with Kachim and that would be learned, and that a C-section's unacceptability would be learned from Zois, Me'imo Imo Nafka. There was a Gezerah Shava between Kachim and Bechor because of the appearance of the word Imo in both contexts, and not from Zois. Therefore, the source is not talking about Kachim. No support for Rabbi Yochanan. The Mora responds, Hi, my. And the triangle again features a support for Rabbi Yochanan with the point facing up. And you'll also notice that the next few lines constitute a long answer. And in fact, this long answer takes in the, as we said, the next few lines, which is then followed by an expression, Hochinami Mistabra, which will support this particular answer, so that all of this we'll call answer section or response section of the Gemara is rather long, as is featured by the dashed vertical line that appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my, what? How can you say that for sure? It's not talking about kachim." If you say yes, it is talking about kachim, whereby the yotze doifen is posel. Therefore, I need the two psukim, which would be the imo and zois. One to address a case of a regular animal, a chulin animal that had a child delivered through a C-section, and then you took the offspring and dedicated the offspring as a korban, and we're telling you it would be unfit. The chad, another case, is lebehemas kachim, an animal, a mother that had been sanctified, the oyle derech doifen, that gave birth, that its child was delivered through a C-section. The kosovar, and this Tana is of the opinion, Vlodois Kochim Bavyosan Hain Kedoshim, that offspring of sacrifices gain their sanctity in general at the point of birth, in other words, and not internally. Therefore, the point of delivery is critical for establishing the sanctity of the offspring. That's Bavyosan, through their coming about, through their birth. And since the birth of this animal is through a cesarean section, it doesn't gain the sanctity that it otherwise would have gained upon its birth from an already sanctified mother. So we have two different scenarios: one of a child, animal child being born, animal offspring born through through a C-section, a chulin animal delivery, and the second case of an animal that was already sanctified having its offspring delivered through a C-section. Elo e amris. However, if you say the b'chor, that the psul yotze doifen featured in this Tanaic source was addressing b'chor, and learned from Zois, mipeper rechem nafka, there, that point that a b'chor is unfit as a b'chor when delivered through a C-section, that's learned from another source, namely Peter Rechem, and not from Zois. And when you're in the realm of b'chor, there's no need for two sources. There isn't an issue of two scenarios. Hochi nami mistabra. And at this point, the Gemara says we can bring further evidence of this. It's also likely, thusly, midikotoni, from the fact that the source featured horovea, vanirba, vamukze, vanevad, vikilayim. That was a list of deficiencies under our source. We had them under the Bay's list that are puzzle, completely puzzle, and one might have asked, Hani mehocha nafka, mehosa nafka. The deficiencies of Rovea nearby, etc., are they really learned from Zos? Are they not learned from Min Habehema, another pasuk? Lahotzi, to exclude, the expression Min Habehema excludes Rovea nearby. Min Habokar, from the pasuk, excludes Zos as a nevad. Min Hatzon, another quote from the pasuk, Lahotzi as a mukze. umin hatzon, the vav in this word, of the word umin, lahotzi es hanogeach, an animal that killed someone through goring another person, an animal that killed a person, is unfit. Vesu, and furthermore, kilayim, which was featured in our source, mehocha nafka, is it really learned from here? Mehosam nafka, there's another source for kilayim, shor o kesev o eiz, and from that pasuk, we break it down as follows. Shor prat lekilayim, the word shor means a purebred ox and not a mixed breed. Oyez prat lenigme, the oyez comes to exclude an animal, let us say, for an example, a goat gave birth to an offspring looking like a sheep. That's called a nidme. Well, what are we seeing here? We are seeing that things that were featured under our Bayes list, back on Memamed Bayes, as being learned from Zos, actually have an alternative source for their exclusion. So are you telling me then I have two sources for the same thing? Elo atzterichu trei kroy. I need two separate words of exclusion. Chad lebehemas chulin, one to cover the case of an unsanctified animal. V'chad lebehemas kotshim, and the other source to exclude the case of a sanctified animal. Hochanami, so too with the realm of yotze dofen in the context of kotshim. Itzdrich trei kroy. I need the two psukim. And this point of itzdrich trei kroy was featured in this discussion to show that we're talking about kachim and not talking about bechor. And with that in mind, we have a support for Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that Rabbi Shimon will concede in the realm of kachim that a yotze dofen is pasul. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.